This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Today on Teen Creeps Presents Public Domain Theater, Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, as read by Kelly Nugent, as responded to by Lindsay Kata.
It is very seldom that mere ordinary people like John and myself secure ancestral halls for the summer. A colonial mansion, a hereditary estate, I would say a haunted house, and reach the height of romantic felicity, but that would be asking too much of fate. Still, I would proudly declare that there is something queer about it. Else, why should it be let so cheaply? And why have stood so long untenanted? John laughs at me, of course, but no one expects that in a marriage.
No one expects to be laughed at in a marriage? What kind of humorless shit is that, lady?
John is practical in the extreme. He has no patience with faith, an intense horror of superstition. And he scoffs openly at any talk of things not to be felt and seen and put down in figures.
Oh yeah, he sounds like a fucking dreamboat. What the fuck?
John is a physician.
Okay.
And perhaps, I would not say it to a living soul, of course, but this is dead paper and a great relief to my mind. Perhaps that is the one reason I do not get well faster. You see, he does not believe I'm sick. And what can one do? If a physician of high standing and one's own husband assures friends and relatives that there's really nothing the matter with one but temporary nervous depression, a slight hysterical tendency, what is one to do? My brother is also a physician and also of high standing, and he says the same thing.
God. This fucking woman. She's being... I mean, I know that this is about being about gaslighting, but wow, gaslighting.
So I take phosphates or phosphites, whichever it is, and tonics and journeys and air and exercise, and am absolutely forbidden to work until I'm well again. Personally, I disagree with their ideas. Personally, I believe that congenial work with excitement and change would do me good.
Oh, no. But you.
But what is one to do? I did write for a while in spite of them, but it does exhaust me a good deal having to be so sly about it. Or else meet with heavy opposition.
The fuck are these assholes?
God. I sometimes fancy that in my condition, if I had less opposition and more society and stimulus, but John says the very worst thing I can do is to think about my condition, and I confess it always makes me feel bad.
Okay, is she like rich? Why is he tormenting her and making sure she can't leave the house?
So I'll let it alone and talk about the house.
Mm-hmm.
The most beautiful place. It is quite alone, standing well back from the road, quite 3 miles from the village. It makes me think of English places that you read about, for there are hedges and walls and gates that lock and lots of separate little houses for the gardeners and people. There is a delicious garden.
Wow, she has to cling to so little.
I never saw such a garden. Large and shady, full of box-bordered paths and lined with long grape-covered arbors with seats under them.
I am in love with this woman.
I know. I want to rescue her.
She's such a dear.
There were greenhouses, too, but they're all broken now. There was some legal trouble, I believe, something about the heirs and co-heirs, Anyhow, the place has been empty for years. That spoils my ghostliness, I'm afraid, but I don't care. There is something strange about the house. I can feel it.
Yeah, it's your husband.
It's your fucking husband and your brother.
Your fucking evil-ass fucking male relatives.
I even said so to John one moonlight evening, but he said what I felt was a draft. So I and shut the window. I get unreasonably angry with John sometimes.
No, reasonably.
I'm sure I never used to be so sensitive. I think it is due to this nervous condition.
God damn it.
But John says if I feel so, I shall neglect proper self-control. So I take pains to control myself, before him at least, and that makes me very tired.
Oh my God.
I don't like our room a bit. I wanted one downstairs that opened onto the piazza and had roses all over the window and such pretty old-fashioned chintz hangings. But John would not hear of it. He said there was only one window and not room for two beds and no near room for him if he took another. He's very careful and loving and hardly lets me stir without special direction.
Huh?
Oh my God. I have a scheduled prescription for each hour in the day. He takes all care from me. And so I feel basely ungrateful not to value it more.
Oh, no.
He said we came here solely on my account, that I was to have perfect rest and all the air I could get. Your exercise depends on your strength, my dear, said he, and your food somewhat on your appetite, but air you can absorb all the time. So we took the nursery at the top of the house. It is a big, airy room, the whole floor nearly, with windows that look all ways and air and sunshine galore. It was a nursery first and then playroom and gymnasium. I should judge.
Gymnasium.
Is that what your upstairs neighbors are doing?
Oh my God. Oh my God. She's in my upstairs penthouse. I have to save her.
For the windows are barred for little children and there are rings and things in the walls. The paint and paper look as if a boy's school had used it. It is stripped off, the paper, in great patches all around the head of my bed. About as far as I can reach and in a great place on the other side of the room low down. I never saw worse paper in my life. One of those sprawling, flamboyant patterns committing every artistic sin. It is dull enough to confuse the eye in following, pronounced enough to constantly irritate and provoke study, and when you follow the lame, uncertain curves for a little distance, they suddenly commit suicide, plunge off at outrageous angles, destroy themselves in unheard of contradictions.
I wish she were being allowed to write because she's very good.
She's very good. The color is repellent, almost revolting, a smoldering, unclean yellow. Strangely faded by the slow-turning sunlight. It is a dull yet lurid orange in some places, a sickly sulfur tint in others. No wonder the children hated it. I should hate it myself if I had to live in this room long.
But you do.
There comes John, and I must put this away.
Oh, no.
He hates to have me write a word.
Oh, my God.
Cut to.
This is worse than I thought.
We have been here 2 weeks. And I haven't felt like writing before since that first day. I'm sitting by the window now, up in this atrocious nursery.
God, that was the first day.
And there's nothing to hinder my writing as much as I please, save lack of strength. John is away all day, and even some nights when his cases are serious. I'm glad my case is not serious. But these nervous troubles are dreadfully depressing. John does not know how much I really suffer. He knows there is no reason to suffer, and that satisfies him. Of course it is only nervousness. It does not weigh on me not to do my duty in any way. I mean to be such a help to John, such a real rest and comfort, and here I am a comparative burden already.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Nobody would believe what an effort it is to do what little I'm able, to dress and entertain and order things. It is fortunate Mary is so good with the baby. Such a dear baby.
Oh, she's so depressed.
And yet I cannot be with him. It makes me so nervous. Oh, she has postpartum. Oh, this is really sad.
She does.
I suppose John never was nervous in his life. He laughs at me so about this wallpaper. At first, he meant to repaper the room. But afterwards, he said that I was letting it get the better of me and that nothing was worse for a nervous patient than to give way to such fancies.
Shut the fuck up, you motherfucking asshole.
He said that after the wallpaper was changed, it would be the heavy bedstead and then the barred windows and then that gate at the head of the stairs and so
dude,
on.
Barred windows. Don't need them.
You know the place is doing you good, he said. And really, dear, I don't dare renovate the house for just a 3 months rental.
Oh, okay.
Then do let us go downstairs, I said. There are such pretty rooms there. Then he took me in his arms and called me a blessed little goose and said he would go down to the cellar if I wished and have it whitewashed into the bargain. But he is right enough about the beds and windows and things. It is an airy and comfortable room as anyone need wish, and of course I would not be so silly as to make him uncomfortable just for a whim. I'm really getting quite fond of the big room. Oh, but that horrid paper. Out of one window I can see the garden. Those mysterious deep-shaded arbors, the riotous old-fashioned flowers, the bushes and gnarly trees. Out of another, I get a lovely view of the bay and a little private wharf belonging to the estate. There's a beautiful shaded lane that runs down there from the house. I always fancy I see people walking in these numerous paths and arbors, but John has cautioned me not to give way to fancy in the least.
Oh my God, I hate it.
He says that with my imaginative power and habit of story-making,
I'd almost be a full person. I mustn't be that.
A nervous weakness like mine is sure to lead to all manner of excited fancies, and that I had to use my will and good sense to check the tendency.
What the fuck?
So I try. I think sometimes that if I were only well enough to write a little, it would relieve the press of ideas and rest me. But I find I get pretty tired when I try. It is so discouraging not to have any advice and companionship about my work. When I get really well, John says he'll ask Cousin Henry and Julia down for a long visit. But he says he would as soon put fireworks in my pillowcase as to let me have those stimulating people about now.
What?
Like, he's trapping her.
Oh my God. No.
I wish I could get well faster. But I must not think about that. This paper looks to me as if it knew what a vicious influence it had. There's a recurrent spot where the pattern lolls like a broken neck and two bulbous eyes stare at you upside down. I get positively angry with the impertinence of it and the everlastingness. Up and down and sideways they crawl, and those absurd, unblinking eyes are everywhere. There is one place where two breadths didn't match, and all the eyes go up and down the line, one a little higher than the other. I never saw so much expression in an inanimate thing before, and we all know how much expression they have. I used to lie awake as a child and get more entertainment and terror out of blank walls and plain furniture than most children could find in a toy store.
Okay, fair.
I remember what a kindly wink the knobs of our old big bureau used to have.
Oh, okay, I get it.
And there was one chair that always seemed like a strong friend. I used to feel that if any of the other things looked too fierce, I could always hop into that chair and be safe.
This woman is like such a creative, imaginative, like a vivacious thing. What the fuck?
The furniture in this room is no worse than inharmonious, however, for we had to bring it all from downstairs. I wonder when this was used as a playroom, they had to take the nursery things out, and no wonder. I never saw such ravages as the children have made here. The wallpaper, as I said before, is turned off in spots, and it sticketh closer than a brother. They must have had perseverance as well as hatred. Then the floor is scratched and gouged and splintered.
Children kept locked here?
The plaster itself...
Flowers in the attic. Flowers in the attic.
The plaster itself is dug out here and there. And this great heavy bed, which is all we found in the room, looks as if it has been through the wars. But I don't mind it a bit. Only the paper. There comes John's sister. Such a dear girl as she is and so careful of me. I must not let her.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I must not let her find me writing.
Why is this a conspiracy?
Internalized misogyny.
Oh, my God. I hate it.
She's a perfect and enthusiastic housekeeper and hopes for no better profession. I verily believe she thinks it is the writing which makes me sick.
Why does everybody think that?
But I can write when she's out and see her a long way off from these windows. There is one that commands the road, a lovely shaded winding road, and one that just looks over the country. A lovely country, too, full of great elms and velvet meadows. This wallpaper has kind of a sub-pattern in a different shade, a particularly irritating one, for you can only see it in certain lights and not clearly then. But in the places where it isn't faded and where the sun is just so, I can see a strange, provoking, formless sort of figure that seems to skulk about behind the silly and conspicuous front design.
Lee.
Their sister on the stairs.
I'm scared.
Well, the 4th of July is over. The people are gone and I am tired out. John thought it might do me good to see a little company, so we just had Mother and Nellie and the children down for a week. Of course, I didn't do a thing. Jenny sees to everything now. But it tired me all the same. John says if I don't pick up faster, he shall send me to Weir Mitchell in the fall.
Huh?
But I don't want to go there at all. I had a friend who was in his hands once, and she says he's just like John and my brother, only more so.
Okay, so the sister gets that John and the brother are assholes.
Yeah.
Okay. Save her, man.
Besides, it is such an undertaking to go so far. I don't feel as if it were worthwhile to turn my hand over for anything, and I'm getting dreadfully fretful and querulous. I cry at nothing and cry most of the time.
Oh, she needs meds.
Of course I don't when John is here or anybody else, but when I'm alone. And I am alone a good deal just now. John is kept in town very often by serious cases, and Jenny is good and lets me alone when I want her to.
Oh my God.
So I walk a little in the garden or down that lovely lane and sit on the porch under the roses and...
So is he just fucking around on her?
I think he's fucking around on her. And lie down up here a good deal. I'm getting really fond of the room in spite of the wallpaper. Perhaps because of the wallpaper. It dwells in my mind so. I lie here on this great immovable bed. It is nailed down, I believe. And follow that pattern about by the hour. It is as good as gymnastics, I assure you.
What?
I start, we'll say, at the bottom. Down in the corner over there where it has not been touched. And I determine for the 1,000th time that I will follow that pointless pattern to some sort of conclusion.
Oh, no.
I know a little of the principle of design, and I know this thing was not arranged on any laws of radiation or alternation or repetition or symmetry or anything else I've ever heard of. It is repeated, of course, by the breadths, but not otherwise. Looked at in one way, each breadth stands alone. The bloated curves and flourishes, a kind of debased Romanesque with delirium tremens, go waddling up and down in isolated columns of fatuity. But on the other hand, they connect diagonally, and the sprawling outlines run off in great slanting waves of optic horror.
So this woman is so fucking bored and trapped that she's like, you know what? I'm going to follow the line of this wallpaper. I'm going to give myself a challenge to get all the way to the end.
I'm going to get to the end of this wall.
I'm going to get to the end of this wallpaper.
Like a lot of wallowing seaweeds in full chase. The whole thing goes horizontally, too, at least it seems so, and I exhaust myself in trying to distinguish the order of its going in that direction. They've used a horizontal breadth for a frieze, and that adds wonderfully to the confusion. There's one end of the room where it's almost intact, and there, when the cross lights fade and the low sun shines directly upon it, I can almost fancy radiation after all. The interminable grotesques seem to form around a common center
grotesque.
And rush off in headlong plunges of equal distraction. It makes me tired to follow it. I'll take a nap, I guess. I don't know why.
There's literally nothing else to do.
I don't know why I should write this. I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel able.
Mm-hmm.
And I know John would think it absurd, but I must say what I feel and think in some way.
Do it, girl.
It is such a relief.
Do it.
But the effort is getting to be greater than the relief.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time now, I am awfully lazy and lie down ever so much. John says I mustn't lose my strength. And has me take cod liver oil and lots of tonics and things, to say nothing of ale and wine and rare meat. Dear John, he loves me very dearly and hates to have me sick. I tried to have a real, earnest, reasonable talk with him the other day and tell him how I wish he would let me go and make a visit to Cousin Henry and Julia. But he said I wasn't able to go, nor able to stand it after I got there, and I did not make out a very good case for myself, for I was crying before I had finished.
Oh my God. Except for the keeping me locked up in the apartment, that part does sound like Mike, where it's like throwing different solutions at me, like, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
But he lets me visit Cousin Henry.
And Julia. It is getting to be a great effort for me to think straight. Just this nervous weakness, I suppose. And dear John gathered me up in his arms and just carried me upstairs and laid me on the bed and sat
said,
by
you silly goose.
Call me a silly little goose and sat by me and read to me until it aired my head. Oh, tired my head, sorry. He said I was his darling and his comfort and all he had, and that I must take care of myself for his sake and keep well. He says no one but myself can help me out of it, that I must use my will and self-control and not let any silly fancies run away with me. There's one comfort. The baby is well and happy and does not have to occupy this nursery with the horrid wallpaper. If we had not used it, that blessed child would have. What a fortunate escape. Why, I wouldn't have a child of mine, an impressionable little thing, live in such a room for worlds.
Just move out of the room.
I never thought of it before, but it is lucky that John kept me here after all. I can stand it so much easier than a baby, you see. Of course, I never mention it to them anymore. I'm too wise, but I keep watch of it all the same. There are things in that paper that nobody knows but me, or ever will. Behind that outside pattern, the dim shapes get clearer every day. It is always the same shape, only very numerous. And it is like a woman stooping down and creeping about behind that pattern. I don't like it a bit.
Okay, new theory. She is, in fact, insane, and they are just looking out for her best interests. She had a breakdown before this. They were like, we don't want to send you to a sanitarium. Let's get you to this house. There's nothing wrong with the wallpaper, sweetheart. You would think the same thing, even if I changed it. And she's like, nah.
I don't like it a bit. I wish John would take me away from here. It is so hard to talk with John about my case because he is so wise and because he loves me so.
Mm.
But I tried it last night.
To be continued. And that concludes the first installment of The Yellow Wallpaper on Teen Creeps Presents Public Domain Theater.